Welcome back. The second hour of Issues Etc. is right ahead. It's open lines for your questions and your comments. Very interesting. I don't know if you even call this news, but when it's Oprah Winfrey, who is the empress of her own kingdom, her net worth does rival many kingdoms of the earth. Nothing wrong with that, but she is called the Queen of Talk. Long, storied, and in many ways an admirable career as a television talk show host. We've talked about her a lot of times. The issue of truth has recently come up with regard to Oprah Winfrey, and she had a little crisis of truth recently. Of course, you've probably heard about this. I was traveling over the weekend. That's all they were showing on television. It was the top story. You know how they always return to the top story about every, 35 seconds on things like headline news? Well, it was Oprah Winfrey. It was her 180. That's what they were calling it. And the story basically here, well, we'll have the story for you here from a CBS News package in just a moment. But the story in brief outline is she endorsed a book. The author turned out to have fictionalized, made up much of what was in the book that was presented as actual fact. At first, Oprah defends the author publicly, saying, in effect, and you'll hear it for yourself, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, the book moved me. The book helped people, so it doesn't really matter. And then within a day or two, she reversed herself and said that she regretted the phone call to Larry King in which she had made those statements about the truth not really mattering. She said truth does matter to her, and she had the author back on the program. Kind of read him the riot act a little bit. So we're going to play some of that for you. And another issue of truth with regard to Oprah Winfrey coming up here during this hour of Issues Etc. Rudolph Giuliani had an interview with Chris Matthews right after the President's State of the Union address. And in this interview, one of the last questions that Chris asks is, say, what about running for president in 2008? Does it sound like a good idea? Like most, we'll get his answer. He's one of the few that's there. And my question for you when we get to that piece of audio is, if Giuliani were to run, and it's likely, would you be voting for him? Whether you're Republican or Democrat, but think of it in terms of if you're voting the Republican ticket, would you vote for a Giuliani ticket? It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I want your reaction to the Oprah story. We'll have it more in a fuller way here for you in just a moment with some of our audio. And I'd like your reaction to the question about Giuliani running for president. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have a conversation about Campus Crusade for Christ with Vicar Joshua Genig. And then we'll have a little bit more open lines, soundbite of the week from 5:30 until 6. This piece comes from the CBS Early Show, gives us a brief story of Oprah's crisis of truth this last week. All right, we'll have that in just a second. Just solo out the one, the package, I think, is what we've called it there. This comes from the CBS Early program, and it kind of tells the story of what's happened in Oprah's life, especially with regard to this book that she endorsed.
A major about-face for Oprah. After supporting author James Frey, who'd been widely criticized for lying in his best-selling memoir, A Million Little Pieces, Oprah took it all back yesterday. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston reports.
It's not the first time Oprah's seal of approval has created a bestseller, but it's the first time the Queen of Talk has admitted making a bad selection by choosing author James Frey's A Million Little Pieces.
I feel duped, but more importantly, I feel that you betrayed millions of readers.
It was the Smoking Gun website that revealed glaring inaccuracies in Frey's memoir. At first, Oprah defended Frey. 2 weeks later, Oprah changed her mind.
I regret that phone call. I made a mistake, and I left the impression that the truth does not matter. And I am deeply sorry about that, because that is not what I believe.
Oprah summoned Frey back to her broadcast for a public rebuke.
I came here, and I have been honest with you. I have, you know, essentially admitted to
lying.
What I have been to lying.
Doubleday, Frey's publisher, also did a turnaround, from dismissing criticism to acknowledging that a number of facts have been altered and incidents embellished. A publishing industry expert says Oprah's change of heart was a smart move.
I think it will only help her. I don't think that anybody thinks that Oprah's a literary critic, but she's a good judge of people and their stories, and what she's done is restore that credibility.
But for all of her mea culpas, Oprah did not rescind her seal of approval, and James Frey remains a best-selling author. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, New York.
So I watched Oprah yesterday. I thought it was incredibly big of her to come out and say at the top of the show that she was wrong. And I, like so many of the readers that she talked about, I read the book, and I did feel duped, lied to.
Couldn't have been easy for her to apologize for sticking up for that author on Larry King Live. I mean, that had to be a very difficult thing to do.
You know, they say about cats, they always, you drop them any direction, they land on their feet. Oprah Winfrey is a feline in the media world. She lands on her feet. Well, let's go a little deeper into this story. They only hinted at what had actually happened when she defended the author when it was first discovered that much of the book that she had endorsed was fiction, when it was presented as fact. Now, the defense came on Larry King's program. He was interviewing the author himself. The questions were being raised, and Oprah felt the need near the end of the program to call in and defend the author whose book she had endorsed. Here it is.
All right, I'm going to hold the show a little longer because I understand we have Oprah on the phone. So let's see what she has to say. Are you there, my friend?
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Hello, dear one. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm watching James and Lynn. Hi, James. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Oprah.
Well, I just wanted to say, Larry, because everyone's been asking me to release a statement, and I first wanted to hear what James had to say, and I didn't want to have that colored by any personal conversation that I've had. As he said, he's had many conversations with my producers who do fully support him, and obviously we support the book because we recognize that there have been thousands and hundreds of thousands of people whose lives have been changed by this book. So the truth is this. I read and recommend books based on my connection with the written word and its message. And of course, I am disappointed by this controversy surrounding A Million Little Pieces because I rely on the publishers to define the category that a book falls within and also the authenticity of the work. So I'm just like everybody else. I go to the bookstore. I pick out a book that I love. If it says memoir, I know that maybe the names and the dates and the times have been compressed because that's what a memoir is. Mm-hmm. And I feel about A Million Little Pieces that although some of the facts have been questioned, and people have a right to question because we live in a country that lets you do that, that the underlying message of redemption in James Frey's memoir still resonates with me, and I know that it resonates with millions of other people who have read this book and will continue to read this book. And, you know, one of the things that James says in the book for all the people who are going through any kind of addiction is to hold on. And I just wanted to, you know, I've been calling this summer and it's been busy trying to get through to say to all those people out there who have received hope from reading this book, keep holding on, because the essence of that, I don't doubt. Whether or not the car's wheels rolled up on the sidewalk or whether he hit the police officer or didn't hit the police officer is irrelevant to me. What is relevant is that he was a drug addict who spent, you know, years in turmoil from the time he was 10 years old drinking and tormenting himself and his parents. And out of that, stepped out of that history to be the man that he is today and to take that message to save other people and allow them to save themselves. That's what's important about this book.
One quick thing, Oprah. So therefore you hold him no ill will, have no less regard, and still recommend the book?
Yeah. What I think is that this is going to open up the discussion for publishers. And you know, as you know, I recommend books and have been for a long time. And for me, the bigger question is, what does this mean for the larger publishing world in this memoir category? Because as James was saying earlier, this is a new category. And I feel that, you know, that this discussion will be furthered by the so-called controversy to me, it seems to be much ado about nothing, because if you read the book, as James has said here, that, you know, I don't know what percentage, but so much of the story, the majority of the story, is inside the clinic. And so whether he, you know, I think the next book, which I have not read, James, my friend Leonard, is more about the months, the time he spent in jail. But that, to me, is irrelevant in this story.
Well, Oprah, I really appreciate you calling. I know you want to say something, Jane?
I admire you tremendously, and thank you very much for your support. And, you know, it's I'm still incredibly honored to be associated with you, and I will for the rest of my life. Thank you.
So it's still an Oprah recommend, right?
Well, I certainly do recommend it for all, for all of the people out there. You know what? I was really touched by the woman who called, I think it was from Carmel, who said, as an addict, what do I do now? What do I do? Is this true? If you're an addict whose life has been moved by this story and you feel that what James went through was able to help you hold on a little bit longer and you connected to that, that is real. That is real, and it's irrelevant discussing, you know, what happened or did not happen to the police.
Be well, Oprah. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, James and Lynn, and you too, Larry, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Be well, dear.
Okay, now, it didn't remain much ado about nothing for long, because within a day or two, as you heard in the CBS morning news package that we played for you before, she decided that, although she still recommends the book, she's more than just disappointed in the controversy and does not consider, as she said there in Larry King, that whether or not any of the events actually occurred is irrelevant. Now, what she presented there was a very interesting view of truth. It doesn't really matter whether it happened. It's your connection with it that really matters. And she even talked briefly. That was the most puzzling thing about Oprah's comments there calling into Larry King, was that this book represents a new category of book. The memoir, which doesn't have to be true, as long as it means something to you. I think they used to call that fiction. Nowadays, maybe the categories between fiction and nonfiction need to be rewritten, at least for the listeners and the viewers of Oprah Winfrey and the readers and members of her book club. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The issue is the truth. And there in that call to Larry King, she seems less concerned about the truth and more concerned about the impact of the story, whether it be true or not. Now, you heard before that she was, within a day or two, for whatever reason, to go on the air and say, look, that phone call was a mistake. She regretted making the phone call. Deeply disappointed with the author, and then had the author on to kind of personally express her disappointment to him face to face. And he admitted there on her program afterwards that it wasn't just embellishment. It wasn't just, well, I was operating in a new category of neither fiction nor nonfiction. No, he says, I lied. Now, that's a pretty strong category in a world where the truth doesn't really matter that much. What really matters is its impact on the reader or the hearer or the listener. This isn't the first time that Oprah Winfrey has taken up the issue of truth. She does it on a regular basis. So, if you're an Oprah fan, has this done anything to clarify Oprah's stand on the truth for you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think we are, as she contended there on Larry King, entering a new era where in what we read and what we hear, there is a blurry no man's land between fact and fiction that we can very comfortably occupy, not worried about whether or not anything actually occurred, not worried whether we're actually hearing the truth, but simply being affected by it, being moved by it. What's real is your connection to the story, whether the story is true or not. As long as it gives people hope, it doesn't really make any difference whether it happened. Your reaction to Oprah Winfrey's crisis of the truth last week, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I have to say, to her credit, in time she reversed herself. She still endorses the book, although I imagine the endorsement comes in a different sense than it did before. But to her credit, she said, I shouldn't have made that phone call. And she wanted to have the author admit that he was not telling the truth. This is odd coming from Oprah, because apparently the truth in Oprah's world, there's truth and then there's truth. There's truth, small t, the kind of truth, or truth, capital T, the kind of truth she's concerned with when she endorses a book. And she wants to see that the author is telling the truth. And when he doesn't, she chides him on the program and requires that he admit that he was lying. And she says she regrets defending it, insofar as she did. That's truth with a capital T when it comes to Oprah Winfrey. But other kinds of truth? A little more blurry. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. Our call-in numbers again, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. A little bit later, we're going to hear an interview, or part of an interview, between Chris Matthews on his Hardball program with Rudolph Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, and the possibility of him running for the presidency next time around. Let's go to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Listening in Palm Bay, Florida, on the internet, here's Matt. Matt, welcome.
Hey, Todd. This is an interesting thing that Oprah's been doing to us. She's very truthy about this, isn't she? I really like it. I was just wondering if where does she draw the line between entertainment and truth? Because it seems to me like what she's saying is, as long as you get moved by this, as long as you feel something about this, I mean, you know, I can pop in The Color Purple and be moved, but there's a lot of things about that that aren't true either.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, Matt. And you brought up the issue of two things. You used the word truthy.
Yeah.
Which seems to have gained some currency lately.
Yeah, well, isn't that what they said, that that's the big word for 2005? Yeah. Truthiness.
Yeah, truthiness. Not necessarily true. Truth-ishness, true-ish, not necessarily.
Yeah, true-ish.
Yeah, so there's the degrees of truth, I guess, we're dealing with now in a world that used to be pretty comfortable with true and false. But the other thing you said, Matt, and thank you for the call, that interested me is truth versus entertainment. Now, to be fair to Oprah, she's not talking about being entertained by the author's book. She's talking about being moved, having a connection with it. It says something to you, even if the way it says it to you isn't true. It said something to me. Now, one wonders, you brought up The Color Purple. She was in that, well, early in her national career, she starred in this movie, The Color Purple. It was about slavery and the terrible things that African Americans suffered before slavery was ended. Certainly, it matters whether or not those events actually occurred. Now, you can have historical fiction, don't get me wrong. But maybe this is just me. I know people, lots of people love historical fiction. It's set in history with all the place settings of history that are actually true, and then the story they tell you is fiction. Now, maybe it's just me. I like biography and history, and I like my history straight, not mixed with anything. Kind of like the way I like my scotch, straight. You mix in fiction with history, and I can be neither fascinated with the history nor fully engaged in the fiction. If you like historical fiction, more power to you. Now, The Color Purple was historical fiction. Fine and good. But certainly it does matter whether or not African Americans were held as slaves or not. And it's not just a matter of whether you're moved by an interesting story of people who may or may not have been held as slaves. That matters. That kind of truth matters, doesn't it? I'd like to hear the women's answer to this question. Will this James Frey debacle hurt Oprah Winfrey's credibility with women? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Donna calls from her car. Donna, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Gal, you've just added a fourth quick question or comment. First of all, I'm not sure that she was saying everything had to be false or true. I think she was picking out a specific detail here or there that she said, well, if this happened or that happened, it may not have been a problem, okay? And people may remember different details differently, okay? The second thing is, to me, a memoir is the same as a biography. So I don't think memoir and fiction should ever cross.
So you don't buy the fact that she, as she said to Larry King, this is a new category of book, the memoir, where, and she didn't say it in so many words, but it's a new category, and we're still kind of discussing whether or not these books have to represent actual events.
No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. And I think she should have, when she said, you know, you've lied about this, you've disappointed me, I think she should X the book out. I think she should have said, I no longer back this book. And if I had bought this book under this circumstance that I was buying it because it was a memoir, I would take it back to the bookstore and demand my money back.
Yeah, I mean, the publisher is...
do that. It's just like a bad movie. I go in there and I'm expecting a certain kind of movie, and it's just altogether different. I'll go ask for my money back. Hey, this is not what was advertised.
Do you get your money back, Donna?
I would if I went to movies much, but I don't go, so I don't have to go through that.
Donna, thank you very much for the call.
But before the, I don't know that, I'm an Oprah fan, sort of, okay? So I don't know that this would really affect my feeling for her one way or the other because I'm not, you know, gung-ho.
Thank you very much, Donna. Now, I will tell you one thing. The next time they put together the selections for the book club, they may not have the category of memoir there. And if they do, believe me, Oprah is going to meet personally with the publisher and the author in depth before she puts her Oprah seal of approval on it. Okay, so Donna says Oprah should not only have made it plain that the author wasn't telling the truth, she should have pulled the sticker off the book. You know what it means when Oprah Winfrey puts her sticker on a book? I could take the phone book, the New York City phone book, put Oprah's sticker on it, and it would sell. There are people who do buy the books because the sticker's there. What do the rest of you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. Talking about Oprah Winfrey's trouble with the truth last week. Do you think she's landed on her feet, or do you think this has affected her credibility, particularly with her main audience, and that is women? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, coming up in about 25 minutes here, we're near the bottom of the hour. We're going to be talking with Vicar Joshua Genig. Campus Crusade for Christ, is it what it appears to be? An innocuous evangelism program that has a presence on just about every college and university campus in the United States? He'll answer that question for us coming up in the third hour. And then we'll spend the last half hour of Issues, Etc. today and the last live half hour of the program this week playing, I know it's your favorite, soundbite of the week. We've got some sound from John Warwick Montgomery. We've got some sound from Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, from Ted Haggard, and from others. And I want to know from you in the last half hour, which soundbite that we play is your soundbite of the week? We'll be right back with more Open Lines, talking about Oprah's crisis of the truth.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here, talking with Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Wenthe, tell us about Concordia Theological Seminary as a worldwide outreach.
We have, at latest count, about 23 different countries represented on our campus. We have a full-time staff member teaching in Lithuania, another in Siberia, and then our resident faculty teaches regularly in Kenya, in Haiti. We just recently received an invitation to teach in Madagascar. So our commitment is to be a light on the hill and to broadcast the light of Christ into all the world.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web at www.ctsfw.edu.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Two federal appeals courts have ruled that a ban on partial birth abortion is unconstitutional. The decisions came from both ends of the country. the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California, and the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York made the decisions public within hours of each other. Kim Troby has more.
The courts ruled the bans on partial birth abortion were unconstitutional because they did not contain an exception when the life of the mother is in danger. Colleen Perro with the Republican National Coalition for Life says that's ridiculous.
In the first place, there is never a reason to kill a baby to save a mother's life. Nowadays, we have technological means of even removing a baby from the womb very early on and doing everything we can to save his or her life with all of the medical technology that's available.
Operation Rescue President Troy Newman calls the ruling schizophrenic.
Because we're not talking about whether a woman has the right or not to terminate a pregnancy, but it's narrowed specifically down to the issue of how you kill or dismember a full-term baby.
He says abortion advocates will never condemn any form of abortion, no matter how gruesome.
The pro-abortion crowd must consent to every abortion from embryonic stem cell research all the way till birth, because if they would grant that abortion is bad, then they're consenting to the fact that the preborn baby is a person and has intrinsic human rights like you or I.
The cases could go to the newly constructed Supreme Court. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
Perro notes that Congress has the power to limit jurisdiction of the courts in these cases, but she's doubtful they'll exercise that power given their record over the last 6 years. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Hi, this is Chuck Rathert, host of the Bible Study here on AM 850 KFUO. Next time on the Bible Study, we'll do what we usually do on Fridays, and that's turn the program over to you for an Ask the Pastor program. It's open phones for your questions and comments, and we'll welcome our guest, Pastor Warren Wirth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold. The Bible Study, weekday mornings, 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Are the visions and oracles found in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel relevant to God's people today? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can get more information about this commentary on our website, issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel, our February book of the month.
Welcome back. Open Lines, Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll talk about Campus Crusade for Christ, and then we'll play Soundbite of the Week. It's Open Lines. We're talking about Oprah Winfrey's truth debacle last week, where her credibility became the issue when an author that she had endorsed, a book that she had endorsed through her book club, was proved to be false. And she at first defended it, and then later did a 180 and said, nope, the truth matters even to me, Oprah Winfrey. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Mark, who calls from his car. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I guess I should start by confessing that I have read quite a few of Oprah's books. My wife passes selected ones on to me, and I've enjoyed them. I also like fictional, historical fiction, too. So, but anyway, I did read Into a Million Pieces before I knew of the controversy, and I enjoyed it. But little alarms went off in my head during different parts saying this just isn't true. Much the way if you looked at a resume and little bells would go off saying, no, this is a lie. The strongest parts of the book were the parts where he was telling the truth about how hard it is to beat addiction. The weakest parts were where he was just telling lies and embellishing.
Okay, so when you were reading the book, you had kind of your truth radar was pinging at certain points.
Yes, definitely. And I brought those to my wife's attention, and she said, you know, those parts bothered me too. I just don't believe it. But she did enjoy the book. And we did learn that it was first submitted as a piece of fiction, could not get published, and then was submitted as a memoir.
Interesting. That raises the whole question, and thank you very much, Mark. That raises the question that Oprah raised when she called Larry King, which is, this is a different category of book. Neither entirely true nor entirely fictional. And yet the reader's not told which is the true part and which is the fictional part. I mean, at least with historical fiction, you do know with a certain degree of accuracy that the central story and the characters are probably going to be fictional, and then the setting, the historical setting, is going to be accurate to history. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Mike. He listens in Canada on the Internet. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just thinking, I've just recently finished reading the Da Vinci Code, and I find a lot of the discussion around this book that Oprah has gotten so upset very much applicable to what is found in the Da Vinci Code. And I think to be consistent, I would, Oprah expressed outrage over this being lied to, and I think that I'd love to see her express the same outrage over what is found in the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, we were recently traveling, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. And, you know, when people travel, you see people all over the place with books open. You're in the airport, or in our case, we were on a cruise boat, and people out on their deck chairs, everybody's got a book in their hand. You know what? And I'm not joking. I walked down the line one time just seeing, what's everybody reading here? I saw Dan Brown. It wasn't all the Da Vinci Code. It was other books by Dan Brown or related to the Da Vinci Code. These books that come before the Da Vinci Code, not by Dan Brown, but by others, putting forth the same kind of theory as the Da Vinci Code. On any given date, when I walk down, 5 copies of Da Vinci Code, and then related books, and we're out of a group of maybe 40 people. That's a lot of people reading those books. Now, the thing about Dan Brown's book, and we've got audio to this effect, not here right now, but somewhere stuck in the hard disk, Dan Brown says everything in that book, The Da Vinci Code, he says this, everything except the characters in The Da Vinci Code is true. And people read that and they say, the author says it's true. He admits to making up the characters, but everything else is true. It must be true. That's the whole controversy of The Da Vinci Code. I agree with you very much, Mike. I'd like to see people call into question Dan Brown's work as much, which is why we've done that quite a bit here on Issues, Etc. Here's Roger calling from his car. Roger, welcome.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
Very well.
With this book, it kind of is a commentary on postmodern culture and the state of truth. It's interesting that Oprah did come out and basically unendorse the book. Could you imagine, I took a trip to Hannibal, Missouri not too long ago and saw the birthplace of, I don't know if it was his birthplace, but his boyhood home, Samuel Clemens.
Yeah.
And can you imagine if he would have published Tom Sawyer, but made it seem like a memoir? I mean, much of the book is based off kids he knew when he was younger and, you know, apparently incidents that were kind of related to his life, but he put it in a fictional context and didn't once try and make it a memoir, you know? So it just seems to me like this is kind of a commentary on postmodern culture.
Thank you very much, Roger. Yeah, it is a commentary. It's a running commentary, in fact. One of the things that Oprah said in that call to Larry King, when she was defending the fiction of the author's book, was, we're having a conversation. Maybe this will start a conversation. An ongoing discussion about what we read and truth. Now, I'm all for a conversation about truth. In fact, we're having one right now. But where does the conversation go? What conclusions are finally drawn? If the conversation about truth takes place and then the final conclusions are, you know, in the end, the truth really doesn't matter that much. Well, maybe you should have a little more conversation. All right. We have heard from lots of men on this James Frey, Oprah Winfrey issue. Let's hear from some women. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Michael's waiting here in St. Louis. Michael, thank you for being patient. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Yes, sir.
Just to preference what I'm about to say, I've quit watching regular television for about 2.5 years, and I briefly have only watched her show for about 15 minutes. It was back in the early 90s, and it was because they did a reunion with the Brady Bunch. And that was only because when I was channel switching, I saw that, and I thought, wow, because that was part of my generation in the 1970s. But the thing I wanted to get to was I am not into the so-called celebrated in our society, whether it be movie people, this kind of person, or any of these folks. To me, people were, I just see through all of it. And what I don't understand, why do you even give this person the time of day? I think there's more important things that you could be speaking about and referring to Yeshua, Jesus, than this person. She means nothing to me. She's another human being that people like you and others, I guess, celebrate her. I don't. She's just a human being.
Michael, thanks for the call. I wouldn't call myself a celebrator of Oprah Winfrey. I mean, I think she is to be admired for some. She obviously is a very intelligent woman. Her business prowess is admirable. She seems to be, at least in terms of her civil behavior, a very decent, generous, and nice person. So I wouldn't say she means nothing to me. I don't think I celebrate her either, but I certainly wouldn't say she means nothing to me. But she means a lot to a lot of people, Michael. And this is radio, and this is also top of mind. And I think there's an issue of truth here. Do you have that last Oprah cut ready to go there, Buzz? All right, give me a second here, because let me set this up. So the issue is truth. That's why we're having the conversation, Michael. It's not, you know, Oprah Winfrey is the latest player in the truth game. She represents what she puts forward as true, and she says she is about truth, and the truth matters to her. And since Oprah matters to so many, perhaps not you, Michael, but to so many, when she says, I endorse a book, people read it. They take it to heart. They follow her guidance. And whether you like her or not, whether you think she's important or not, there are many who do. One of the things that people take guidance from Oprah Winfrey on are her spiritual views. And I thought someone might ask Michael's question. So, does it really matter in the scope of the world's history whether or not James Frey's book, which will be here today and gone tomorrow, make him a lot of money so he can go and sit on the beach in Bimini? Will it matter a year from now? No, but the truth does matter. Truth, small t, capital T, there is really only one kind of truth. The truth. Now, on more pressing matters, you mentioned Jesus Christ. What Oprah says about that, people listen to. Listen to this. This is what Oprah had to say with regard to truth and Jesus Christ sometime back on her program.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do you
being.
Please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
I
there couldn't
person.
Possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
What about Jesus, she asks. There couldn't possibly be one way of salvation. Michael, you want us to talk about Jesus? Oprah was talking there about Jesus. And for a woman who, in time, is very concerned that her authors tell the truth and don't lie, and that there be the difference between truth and fiction, is not so concerned when it comes to ways of salvation, whether one way is true or another way is false. In fact, I think it's a fair representation of what she just said, that Oprah believes whatever way you want, whatever way you choose, whatever way you make up, that's fine. It all leads to God, and it's all good. And what about Jesus? What about Jesus? There couldn't possibly be one way. You know, the odd thing is that her audience was a bit surprised when she said that. There were some Christian ladies in her audience who up to that point might have been under the impression that truth really mattered to Oprah. The truth, capital T, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't it odd? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And here's Oprah Winfrey last week going to bat for the truth, unwilling to go to bat for the truth. What about Jesus? There couldn't possibly be one way. Now, that's not just the truth that really matters. What do you make of someone who says, look, I'm going to go to bat for the truth, but who is more than willing on her program to say, it doesn't matter when it comes to the truth? It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc., taking your phone calls on the James Fry / Oprah Winfrey truth crisis last week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While we're waiting for more of your phone calls, LCMS World Relief brings you Issues, Etc. in part. They underwrite our program. There's a reason why LCMS World Relief is such a vital interest and why we remind you about LCMS World Relief. The need, the ongoing need, and now we're talking about a need that may stretch into a decade, from hurricanes, from earthquakes, that all goes on, and we need to be reminded that there is a way to help those who are in need, and in the case of LCMS World Relief, also see to it that they are connected with congregations that preach Christ and Him crucified. Find out more about LCMS World Relief. You can either call them toll-free. You can also donate by this number, 1-888-930-4438, or you can find out more about them at our website. You'll find their logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You know, someone once said, all truth is God's truth, and it's true. That's why Christians ought to be concerned about the truth, both the truth that really matters and even those things that we tend to write with the small t, the little truths that don't seem to matter in the long run. You know, I'm pretty adamant with my kids that they don't lie. And you reach that point with your kids where they will tell you, okay, I'm just going to tell my teacher this, or I'm just going to tell so-and-so that. And when I say to them, no, you're not, you're going to tell the truth. Even when it's a little white lie, why? Why? Would there be any consequences if the kid tells the teacher this or that that isn't exactly true? Probably not. Not human consequences. But the truth matters. And any deviation from it, big T, little t, any deviation from it, is not only falsehood, with which Christians should have nothing to do, but says something about what you believe about all truth. Let's go to the phones again. Here's Sandra. Ask for women. Ask and you will receive. Sandra calls from St. Louis. Hi.
Hi.
What's your question or comment, Sandra?
Actually, I wanted to make a comment on the Oprah comment that she made to the audience about the truth.
Yeah.
Or what Jesus has to do with it. I was just listening to it a moment ago. This is my first time actually listening. But I think... My opinion is, I think that it was actually, it's being taken out of context, because there are various religions, and I believe that she was stating that if this is what you believe in, then this is what you believe in. If this is what it takes in order for you to reach that spiritual height or to believe and to be, and to go forth in your life, then this is what you believe in. Okay, this is what I believe that she meant when she said that. She's maybe not as spiritually as you may be. Okay, but that's what I believe that she meant.
All right, Sandra, let's listen to Oprah Winfrey again. It's a pretty short cut. Let's see if your take on her is correct. Now, Sandra says, no, Oprah just meant there are many religions. She was being descriptive. There are many religions, and many people arrive at spiritual enlightenment through various ways. Now, that's different than saying not only there are many religions, but there are many ways. And as she says, listen carefully, Sandra, there can't possibly be just one way. Here it is again.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being.
You please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths
many
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not. There couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus?
What about Jesus? That's a great question, by the way. She's perplexed. What do you mean that Jesus is the only way? There couldn't possibly be one way. No, I don't think, Sandra, I think you should reconsider what you think Oprah was saying there. She wasn't just describing the fact that there are many religions, that many people find enlightenment through various paths. I think she was asserting that there are many ways and that all of them lead exactly the same place, to that same God, or whatever you want to call it. And Jesus being the only way? What in the world is that? Barry calls from Washington, D.C. Barry, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. I had dinner with a group of Muslims last week, about seven of us all together. And a couple of them were just trying to glaze over the fact that we believe completely different things. It's like we all believe in the same God.
Hmm.
And I was very clear to them. We don't all believe in the same God. I said, if a Muslim doesn't believe I'm going to hell, is he really a Muslim? I think we have to be truthful and kind and loving. I mean, I'm not going to tell these men that their way's all right with me. I think sometimes we don't want to. I had one trustee at a church I was at tell me that I was a little bit of a bomb thrower sometimes. I like to get people upset. Well, no, I just tell them the truth. It's not popular.
Nowadays, Barry, as you well know, and thank you for the call. Thanks for listening out there in D.C. Nowadays, when you speak the truth, even when you speak the truth in love, you will be accused of being a bomb thrower. It just goes with the territory. For many, and sad to say, even for many Christians, speaking the truth in love really means don't speak the truth. They do not believe. There are Christians who are convinced. Now, they may not say it, but they are convinced in their heart of hearts that you cannot speak the truth in love. If that truth in any way offends or ruffles feathers or rocks the boat. By definition, if it offends or rocks the boat or ruffles feathers, you haven't spoken the truth in love. In which case, Jesus didn't do it either. He should have just kept his mouth shut. Very offensive Jesus we have. Sometimes even intentionally offensive. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Just before we go, Barry, the kindest thing you could have said or done with your Muslim friends, and I sure hope you're still friends, is to disagree with them and say, no, we don't worship the same God. Sad to say, we don't. My God is the one that hangs on a cross and dies for sinners, Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't think if they're Muslims, they could affirm that. Bill calls from Irvine, California, and he listens also on the Internet. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing today? You know, I was listening to this conversation about Oprah, and, you know, when people say this, like, there's multiple ways, they really don't understand. It doesn't make sense because they really don't understand the gospel, especially if you listen to Issues, Etc. I mean, the emphasis is in the gospels is not what we do, but that we're all sinners and that the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. When people say there's multiple ways, they're really getting into piety and doing work. So, yeah, there's multiple ways if we're all just like good people that can somehow work our way into heaven. But that isn't what the gospel says. The gospel says there's no hope except for in Christ and Christ's finished work, right?
Absolutely right, Bill. Very well put. And right to the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is, when Jesus says, I am the only way, he's not just saying, oh, let me think of the most exclusive statement I could possibly make. No, he is saying to a world desperate and dead in sin, I'm the way out, and I'm the only way out. I am the Savior, and I'm the only Savior. And it's the kindest thing he could say to sinners. Because he is, by saying, I am the only way, the only truth, the only life, warning them that any other way, any other truth, any other life cannot save them. Oh, you can get enlightenment anywhere. Jesus didn't come to enlighten us. You can reach a spiritual plane any way you want. Jesus didn't come to raise us to a higher spiritual plane. He came to die for sinners and forgive them and save them and, on the last day, raise them up just as he has been raised. That's why he came. Rodney calls from his car. Rodney, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, yes. I'm a professional driver. I happen to be in the Troy area right now, and I was listening to the program. I'm a born-again Christian, and I also am a recovered addict. I don't believe in this garbage. Of course, when you have Jesus, you're finished with the old way. But there's one thing I've heard from the beginning. Nobody's asked this question. As a former drug addict, I happen to know that drug addicts lie. They lie real good. And another thing, all right, some people have read the book and they've sat up there and they said, oh, wow, I've been, you know, I've read the book and I see, okay, I can get out of this. Well, now all of a sudden they find out, wait a minute, he lied. They have very fragile personas.
Thank you very much. That's a good point. Now, his point is we should understand this. You know, the 12-step program, whatever you make of the 12-step program, requires that you first do what? It's a good first step. Be honest. What's honesty? Honesty is acknowledging the truth and being truthful. Now, if you're an addict and you're told you need to be truthful, and here's this addict saying, I can show you the way out, but, you know, I'm not going to be truthful when I show you the way out. What in the world? And from Crestwood, our time is short. Welcome.
I've got a quick quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, being a Christian does mean thinking that where Christianity differs from other religions, Christianity is right and they are wrong. As in arithmetic, there's only one right answer to a sum and all other answers are wrong.
Where did you get that?
It's from Mere Christianity.
Thank you, Ann.
Okay.
Love C.S. Lewis. He's always good for a quote. Yes. Yes. And that's what Jesus is saying when he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Perhaps even with mathematical precision. You know, I've been helping my teenager with algebra. I'm way in over my head, believe me. And believe it or not, even in algebra, even in the new math, even when it takes 45 minutes for dad to figure out what the problem is even about before you get an answer, there's a right answer at the end. And all other answers of necessity are less than right. Now, we used to call that wrong. And that is the kindest thing that Christians can say to the world when they speak of Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, and the life, to warn them that all other exits lead to more danger, and only Jesus Christ leads to salvation and life. And thanks for that call and for the C.S. Lewis quote, and thanks to all... Oh, we're not going yet? Yeah, go ahead and go. Thanks, Buzz. We'll be right back with the third hour.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.